Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, this morning I'm going to deliver a Christmas message. Please turn with me to two passages of the Bible. The first is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to verse 24. And then the second passage is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to verse 7. So let me read to you the first passage from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to verse 24. All right, Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18 to verse 24. Verse 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you your Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took on him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now the next passage is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, please, and it's verse 6 and verse 7. Very short, two verses, but very, very powerful verses. Alright, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to verse 7, he says, Are you there? Yeah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time onward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these two wonderful passages that we have read. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will open up the scripture and speak to us of your word. Because, Lord, you are God, Lord, who save us. Your mission on earth is to save us from our sin. So this morning, we want to know, Father, what you have in store for us in the future. And Lord, I pray that as I open my lips, you anoint it and you speak to your people, that you will bring, Father, hope, Lord, in the hearts of the hearer. Because, Lord, we say, Lord, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are people of hope. And for this Christmas season, we are to be reminded, Lord, of the real season for the celebration. And what Jesus had done and what he's going to do in the future. So I pray, Father, Holy Spirit, also anoint the hearer, the ears of the hearer, their hearts, that they will be receptive to your word. And that they will take this word. Take heed of this word and be able to share this good news with the people around them. That Christmas, Lord, will be centered upon Christ. And Jesus is the reason that we celebrate, Father, this holy holiday. In the name of your Son, Jesus, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now, as you know, in 2 days' time, on Tuesday, we will celebrate Christmas. We commemorate Christmas, the birth of our Lord Jesus. And though we will not have a Christmas holiday service on Tuesday, but today I will take the time to share a Christmas message. Now, some parts of the message will be very familiar to most of you, especially the first half, because it's very basic. Now, nonetheless, it's important to be reminded of those things. But the second half may not be familiar to most of you. Now, this is because the Christmas message is actually meant. I've designed this message and expecting holiday visitors to be with us. And so I like to preach like some part of the message with this content of the gospel. And so I've entitled this message as Jesus, What a Special Child. Now, Christmas, as you know, is a very busy holiday period, and everyone is so busy shopping, buying presents, and their feastings and partying at home. Now, every Christmas, what they call a shopping center, like to put up elaborate decoration and light to celebrate this big festive occasion. Now, even families and households are doing this to decorate their homes on this particular occasion. Now, however, the sad thing is that the main personality we find in this modern celebration is related to Santa Claus. Now, the spotlight on Christ born in a manger has actually slowly dissipated away. Instead, a chubby man in a red suit called Santa has taken prominence especially among the children. And in almost all shopping centers, we see children being drawn to Santa and queuing up to photograph with him, to take photograph to be with him. And they were all attracted to receiving presents from him. And so the true meaning of Christmas actually has been slowly eroding away. So Christ is no longer the center of Christmas. And so the world has subtly turned this into a profit-making commercial venture. And so we have gone from a season of love and grace and joy to a season of indulgence and merrymaking. Now, what is the real meaning of Christmas? Why is this holiday so special? What is the celebration all about? And to begin with, the word holiday actually comes from the word holy day. And so this is a holy day because a very special person by the name of Jesus was born. Now, who is Jesus? Why was the birth so significant? And what did he come to do? Now, as you know, Jesus Christ came to earth and was born 2,000 years ago, and he came with a mission. And Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says that he came to save humanity from their sin. And so the number one point is Jesus' mission is to save mankind from sin. Now, Jesus has many names and titles, and one of it is Emmanuel. It means God with us. And what does God with us mean? Now, Jesus, as I said, is no ordinary person. He is God. And so Jesus, he's God. He became man to be with us 2,000 years ago. And so let me get back to Jesus' mission, and that is to save men from their sin. Now, when we look to the world around today, we notice that something has horribly gone wrong with humanity. Why must, for example, mankind face death? Why can't we live forever and ever? Why is there sicknesses all around? Why is there all kinds of evil that we are encountering? You see murder, hideous crime being committed. You see hatred, war, terrorism, greed, suffering, violence, witchcraft, idolatry, so on and so forth. Addiction to drugs and bondages to all kinds of works of darkness. A long list. So evil seems to have a grip on humanity and the world. And for a few thousand years, mankind tried to solve these problems and thought perhaps the solution lies in education. And so after pursuing and coming up with various educational systems for a few hundred years, the evil conditions of mankind and society have not changed. Now perhaps the solution to evil lies in some rehab program. Perhaps you, for those prisoners, you do have a rehab program that turn a person into a new leaf. Now, men have tried many things over many times, but it's still of no avail. And so they thought perhaps the answer lies in government, the right type of government and leadership. And so mankind tried the different forms of government and leadership. And the communist ideology of equality and seeking to eliminate social classes seems to be very appealing. And so some countries have tried out this for many decades. And after many decades of experiment, it turns out to be worse because the communist government became very repressive. And in fact, in the 1960s, there was a man who ruled Soviet Union, a communist form of government, and his name is Nikita Khrushchev. And he said something very interesting about communism. He says the chief failure with communism is its inability to create a new man. Communism has this noble ideology, but it found out that after many years of experiment, the real problem was humanity, not the ideology. And so this statement from this hardcore communist nailed down the root problem. A flawed humanity is the root problem. They couldn't create a new man. And the motto of communism was always a new code for every man. But the motto of the gospel is a new man in every, or rather a new code for every, sorry, a new man in every code. So mankind try everything under the sun, and it will still fail because the root problem of mankind is the sinful nature. Men sin because of this sinful nature that is in us. Sin is like a spiritual cancer that infected the whole of humanity. And how did this sin come about? Because the first created men and women of humanity, Adam and Eve, fell into the temptation of Satan, the devil, and Satan is the originator of all sin. And through Adam and Eve, sin and evil entered and infected the whole world and the whole of humanity. And this sinful nature is being passed down from generation to generation. The whole of humanity became messed up, and the present world came under the sway of the evil one, the devil. And all were taken by captives by the devil with no hope and no future, all destined to pay the death penalty of damnation and hellfire. And so what is God's solution? Jesus. Jesus had to be born of the virgin birth so that he can be born sinless. Live a sinless life. And only the sinless can die for the sinful to satisfy the justice of God. And for this purpose, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And after his death, he was resurrected with a glorified and a totally sinless body. And through Jesus' atoning death and resurrection, he brought forth a new man, a new creation. And so anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus' atoning death and resurrection can be born again to receive this new life, this new creation. And when we die, our current old sinful nature has to go. It's going to be totally done away with. And the new life that God has put in us will be resurrected and will be clothed with a new glorified sinless body. And this new creation is totally sinless and not capable of sin. And therefore the answer is not education. It is not rehab, but regeneration. To be born again. To bring forth a new creation in Christ Jesus, that this sinful nature can be totally eradicated. For that, during Christmas, we can all celebrate and sing, "Joy to the World," the first song that we sang. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, "Joy to the World." Now, the above is not just it, because there is more exciting things to come. Jesus is coming back again to establish his government on earth for 1,000 years. And so Jesus' second coming is going to bring forth a utopian government. And we know there's something wrong with this world. It is not supposed to be this way. And inside us, we also know that there is an utopia that one day will exist. And even the nations of the world know and long for this utopia. A world of righteous rule and everlasting peace and prosperity. Even the United Nations have this ideal written on the wall outside the building in New York City. The inscription on the wall is taken, in fact, from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. It says that he shall judge between the nation and rebuild many people. They shall beat their sword into plowshare and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And that is the hope of the world. Imagine a world with no war, filled with peace. Imagine a utopia where there's no need for armed forces and police. A world where there's no threat, no discrimination, no violence, no murder, no terrorism, no theft, no crime. Imagine a world where everything is fair and all politicians are righteous. You have really to stretch your mind about these things. A world that is ruled by one perfect ruler and every decision is the right decision. Imagine a world where children can play with animals. There is no hostile but only friendly animals. Imagine a world where the food is super abundant and plentiful. Everyone has more than enough. No hunger, no lack, no poverty, no homelessness. Everyone has a good and proper house. How can this happen? Where do you find such a ruler and government? Mankind has been looking for such a perfect ruler and government, but they have found none. Do not look any further. It is found in Jesus and His coming government. That is why Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 to verse 7 talks about Jesus' second coming. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and other kingdoms, and over His kingdoms, in order to establish it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time onward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, in His first coming, Jesus came to secure our salvation, to save us from our sin, to pay the penalty of our sin, and then to bring forth a new creation in us. And Jesus will come back to establish a utopian government on earth for 1,000 years. And this millennium is meant to give us a pre-taste of how things can be had mankind, had Adam and Eve not sinned and fallen into the temptation of devil. And so Jesus' second coming is going to be the greatest, biggest event to hit the history of planet earth. And this kingdom is a culmination of all the hopes of all the people of all ages. And for that reason, before Jesus comes back, we are taught to pray, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this prayer is going to be answered one day. And now we in the Western world are so used to the democratic form of government. Every 3 or 4 years, we vote for a political party to form a government. Now, God's kingdom is not democracy. There's no need to vote every few years because we are going to have a perfect King Jesus and a righteous government. Now, we are still not familiar with the idea of an absolute king and kingdom yet. God's kingdom is absolute dominion, authority, and sovereign control. And that is why it says in verse 6, "And the government will be upon His shoulder, of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end." And so point number 4, what might Jesus or what might God's government look like? In summary, a totally righteous government. The politicians of the world, current politicians of the world, will do what is popular, not what is right. Jesus will always do what is righteous, not what is popular. Politicians of this world make promises to attract votes, only to break them after they get into power. Jesus does not make any empty promises. Whatever He says, He promises, He fulfills them 100%. Leaders of this day surround themselves with servants. Jesus surrounds us with His servanthood. Leaders of this day use their power to build their own career, their own empire. Jesus uses His power to promote the welfare and the well-being of the people. So, next question. Is God's kind of government taking place now? You ask. Answer is partially. How do we know? Because when Jesus came here 2,000 years ago, He says the kingdom of God is at hand. And for those who receive Jesus, He says, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in you and in me. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to verse 21. And so, when people miraculously leave a sinful life of drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, and turn to Jesus, we witness some measure of God's kingdom in within them. And when Christians love and care for the orphans, for the needy, for the poor, and the society outcasts, we know some measures of God's kingdom is within them. And when you come eagerly to learn God's word and joyously worship and praise the Lord every Sunday, some measure of God's kingdom is within you. So, and so now you get some idea of what it means that the kingdom of God is within you, because God is governing you in within your heart. And those things are taking place, as I mentioned in a few examples. Now we talk a bit about God's government. What kind of king and character is the Lord Jesus? Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are the five royal characters of King Jesus. These are five of His names. Alright, the first is Wonderful. When we see Jesus, He will look wonderful. He is a wonder of wonders. We can gaze at His glory, majesty, and splendor of who He is and what He does. And He fills our hearts and mind with awe, amazement, and wonder. How does His glory and His wonder look like? Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, when you look at the present creation, He gives you a glimpse of God's attributes and glory. And so you look at the vastness, the beauty, and the so-called, the super intelligent design of the galaxy, the sun, the stars, the planets. It is a wonder. And look at the beauty of His creation, of this planet Earth, the sky, the mountains, the ocean, the seas, the rivers, and the underworld, underwater world. And you look at the light, look at the spectrums of colors. It is mind-boggling. And of the different shapes, the different colors of the flowers and vegetation, it is a wonder. And people are in awe and wonder when they witness the seven wonders of the world. From the super telescopic, that is a super huge, to the super microscopic, you know, you see the beauty, the glory, the majesty, and the wonder of His creation. And the current earth, which is marred by sin, is already displaying so much beauty in nature. Wait till you see the new heaven and the new earth. It will be beyond, far beyond our wildest dream and imagination. And we see Jesus, you will see the wonder of wonders. Number two, the second name and the character is Counselor. The current world is in a big mess. We desperately need a superb and a wise counselor. And Jesus is the ultimate and the all-wise counselor. And currently, our fallen world faces so many insolvable problems. Terrorism, wars, lawlessness, poverty, extreme El Nino weather condition, plague. And we spend many years studying, analyzing, and trying to solve these problems. But most of it is of little avail. And in the advancements of science and technology, though many inventions do solve some of the problems, but it also brings about other problems. So, for example, you have mobile phone. It makes communication much more convenient, but it also makes our life more stressful because you're on 24/7 all the time and brings some harm to our body. Internet brings a lot of benefits, but it also creates a lot of social problems. Though Knowledge increases, yet we know so little. Yet there are so many things that we don't know. We can't even treat a common flu and many other deadly flu diseases like SARS, Ebola, bird flu related diseases. And our human body, the immunity system, is left to fight against these diseases because they have no cure. There's no medicine that the doctor can give you. And so Jesus is the perfect counselor. He is the all-knowing, all-wise counselor. He can straight away diagnose the root problem and come up with a solution. Jesus is our perfect counselor because He is the creator and designer of all creation. And He knows us intimately. And He has perfect knowledge. And therefore, Jesus is the ultimate and the all-wise counselor. And that is why the crowd always wanted to hear Him. In the Gospel, you read the accounts of the Gospel. And after hearing Jesus, they say they were all amazed. And they say, no man ever spoke like this man. John chapter 7 verse 46. The third name, Jesus, is the mighty God or the almighty God. Not only Jesus is the perfect counselor, He is the almighty God. He has all the power and authority to change things, to get things done. Now the world has so many insurmountable problems and we need miracles to solve them. And God can do miracles. In the account of the Gospel, Jesus can turn water into wine. Jesus can defy gravity. He can walk on water and calm the storm. And with five loaves and two fishes, He fed the 5,000. And He can raise the dead. And He can heal incurable disease. Why are we not experiencing Him as the miracle-working God now? Because we are not desperate enough for God to experience Him as the miracle-working God. Many third world believers have this desperation for Him. They do not have the means to rely on their own resources, science, technology, or medicine. Their only resource and recourse is Jesus. And with a genuine and a desperate faith and reliance on God, they can experience more of Jesus' might in miracles and healing. That is the reason. And so the fourth name of Jesus, Everlasting Father. Now in John says, in John chapter 10, Philip asked Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus answered. He said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. This is because Jesus is the exact image of God the Father. Here, it does not mean that Jesus is the first person of the Godhead. Here, Jesus is portrayed as the perfect image of the Father, the everlasting Father. And so every one of us need a good father figure. And some, unfortunately, don't have a good father figure. As a result, they cannot relate, or rather they can relate to God as Lord, but they can't really relate much to Him as a loving father. And so a good father figure, what renders the love, the security, the provision, and disciplines the children. And a good father figure will nurture children to grow up to be very secure and a wholesome person. And so, earthly father, don't be hesitant to openly express your love to your children. Say, I love you, and then give them a hug. As they grow up in this kind of conducive environment, as you provide a good father figure, they grow up to be more secure and wholesome person. And so in the millennium kingdom, Jesus will be the perfect father figure to His people. And finally, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The world desperately needs true and lasting peace. Because our current world experienced many turmoils and wars. We had two world wars, World War I and World War II. And there are also many other national and civil war fought over many, many years. The Vietnam War, the Iraqi War, the Kuwait War, so on and so forth. And currently, we have various terrorist war being fought in the different parts of Middle East. And that is so-called a tension between Israel and the surrounding Arab nations. There's an animosity between North Korea and the United States of America. And so the world is also at enmity with God. And many people are not at peace with one another. And whatever peace that they have come up with, it is only temporary peace between nations, only to be broken later on. But when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, returns to earth to establish his government, he will lock up Satan, the main troublemaker. He will lock him up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And during this millennium rule, Jesus will usher in a period of perfect justice, unprecedented prosperity, and a lasting peace. That is why Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4 says, that is when he comes to beat their sword into plowshare and their spears into pruning hooks. That means all arms of war will be turned into productive farming equipment. And when he comes, he puts an end to war and conflict. Nations will not lift up their sword anymore. And they will not learn to make war. And so, if you can recall, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, multitudes of the angels were singing. It says, glory to God in the highest. And take note of this verse. It says, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Now this on earth peace is a big thing. What it meant is, though we sing it every Christmas, we don't fully understand the full significance of this word on earth peace. And this is a prophetic proclamation that the lasting peace will come on earth during Jesus' rule for 1,000 years. You will enjoy 1,000 years of peace on earth when Jesus comes. And so I come to the conclusion. The reason we celebrate Christmas is Jesus, not Santa Claus. Santa is not real. And so, what special child is this? And he has fulfilled the mission of dying on the cross for our sin. And he has brought forth a new creation, a new man. And he is preparing in advance an utopian kingdom for us. God has a Christmas gift for you. Not wrapped in bright paper or bright paper and fancy ribbon, but in the swaddling clothes. It is a gift of Jesus, and it is for you. The gift is still there, but it must be personally received. And you can never truly enjoy Christmas until you learn to receive Christmas, the gift of Jesus, and also experience the 5 facets of his character. And have you done that? And so, you can experience the 5 facets of his character in some good measure on earth now. And so, 1, if you feel let down and you feel that there's no hope without any hope or purpose in your life, do not look to this world. Look to Jesus. Jesus can do wonders in your future life. He will give you a hope and a future. And he will prepare for you a kingdom that takes your breath away. And experience Jesus as your wonderful Savior, because he is the wonder of wonders. 2, if you are confused in life and you don't know what to do, Jesus can be your counselor. And the Bible is full of his counsel. And as you read the Bible, something pops up in the scripture. And that word is the Rhema word. That word will enable you, to so-called give you clarity as to what you ought to do. And so Jesus can be your counselor. 3, if you are facing insurmountable problems, look to Jesus, because he is your almighty God. Things that you thought are impossible, God can make it possible, because he is a miracle working God. And 4, if you suffer from identity crisis or you lost your sense of belonging, remember, this world is temporal. It is not your home. You are on a pilgrimage here, and your home is in heaven, and you belong to God's royal family, and God in heaven is your everlasting Father. And then 5, If your heart is in turmoil, look to Jesus, because He is the Prince of Peace. And He can give you a peace which surpasses all understanding. And so, brothers and sisters, my prayer is that you will experience and you will receive these five facets of Jesus in good measure. While you are present here on earth, you don't have to wait for the millennium kingdom. Here on earth, you can progressively receive some and more measures of these five names of Jesus. Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I trust that this message has blessed you, and have a very blessed Christmas in 2 days' time. The Lord bless you. Amen. Can I get the music?